seated. And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 551 of your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. God is standing with us. God is standing with us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, Amen. Amen. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. The angel told Joseph that the child that Mary was carrying would be named Jesus, but his title would be Emmanuel, God with us. And the deity of Christ is being declared once again in the pages of Scripture by that very title, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God came down to see about our situation in the person of Jesus Christ. This revelation that the angel gave to Joseph was to relieve his mind of the suspicion that Mary had been unfaithful to him, and this was the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. The prophet Isaiah 700 years earlier had declared that a child would be born to a virgin as a sign from God, and this child would be called Emmanuel. 700 years, Israel had been waiting for the fulfillment of that prophecy, even though they did not know exactly what it meant. It meant so much more than they could have guessed, more than they could have imagined. It meant more than we can also imagine even to this day. It means that as we go through this life of turmoil and trouble, we are not alone. God is with us. As we stand in the midst of joy and sadness, health and sickness, God is standing with us. That's what it means. The promise of Emmanuel means God will be with you in whatever situation you find yourself. And that is a promise that God made way back in the Old Testament. But as the New Testament opened with the birth of Jesus, we see God fulfilling that promise of Emmanuel. God has greatly blessed all of us to live in an age where the promise of Emmanuel is being fulfilled in our daily lives. We live in an age in which the blessings of God are freely given to us. And you may ask, to which blessings am I referring? Well, the prophet Isaiah tells us a great deal about the many promises that God said that the Messiah would fulfill, including the promise of Emmanuel. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and listen as Isaiah explains to us the blessings that come with the promise of Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1 says, Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. By the way of the sea along the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Because God is standing with us. We can walk in the light that God alone can provide. The light that God alone can provide. It should have been no surprise to the early church that Jesus came to bring salvation to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. Because God made that promise to Isaiah, who was one of the earliest prophets. Jesus came as the light of the world to Jew and Gentile alike. And see, Galilee was a region that included Jewish cities like Capernaum and Nazareth, but it also had Gentile cities like Zebulun and Naphtali. And when Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, he said to his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And he was fulfilling God's prophecy to be a light to the entire region. And Jesus performed some of his greatest miracles in the region of Galilee because the people there recognized him as a light in the darkness. When Jesus came into their village, they rejoiced to see him. They stepped out of the darkness into God's light. And they were not like the religious leaders down south in Jerusalem who had a hard time accepting Jesus. And they remained in darkness because they thought they knew so much about God that they rejected Jesus. But the people up around Galilee knew that he was coming into their life. They knew that they were living in darkness, and they ran to him, the Jewish cities and the Gentile cities as well. As Isaiah prophesied, those who were living in darkness rejoiced when the light from heaven shone upon them. And Jesus came to bring light into our lives. We need to be ready to step out of the darkness into God's light. Walking in the light means that we can walk upright. We can walk boldly. When you have light to see, you can walk with confidence. You know, you can just step forth and go forth with confidence. But when you walk in the darkness, you have to creep along worried that you might stumble over something. But when you walk in darkness, you can walk upright because God is leading you where he wants you to go. When you walk in God's light, you don't have to worry about stumbling because God is going to give you the light to walk in righteousness. And you would think that everyone living in darkness, living without God in their lives, would rush to get out of that darkness. But strangely, that's not always the case. Human nature is such that sometimes people tend to want to stay where they are, no matter how bad it is. When you live in darkness, no one can tell how raggedy your clothes are because it's dark. And when you live in spiritual darkness, no one can tell how raggedy your life is because everyone is in that same darkness. But when the light from heaven shines down, the spiritual raggedness of our lives shows up. And some come to that light and get things set straight with God. Others seek deeper darkness and run away from the light. That's just the way people are. But Jesus explained this for us in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. He said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." When the light of God comes into our lives, we have to decide whether we want to live in light or in darkness. And it's because of the grace and the mercy of God that we have that choice, the choice to step out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. Because God has given the promise of Emmanuel, we can walk upright in the light because God is walking with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. Because God is standing with us, we can walk in the light that God alone can provide. God can provide light in your darkest situations. You can't get light from anywhere else, but God can shine a light. You can say, okay, I can go a little further. I can go a little further. Jesus came as Emmanuel to provide light for our dark days. But when Emmanuel came, he brought light and more than that into our lives. Listen as Isaiah continues in verse 3. He says, "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder." Because God is standing with us, we can live in the joy that God alone can grant. The joy that God alone can grant. The joy that Jesus brought into this world was declared by the angels on that first Christmas night. After Jesus was born, the angels brought the word to the shepherds who were out in the fields nearby. And the shepherds were afraid when they saw the angel, but the angels started speaking to those shepherds that night. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The word that they brought was a word of joy. They said, don't be afraid. We have good news to tell you. God had decided to bless mankind in a way that he had not done before. God came down in the person of Jesus so that man could have a joy that nothing in this world could destroy. That is what the angels were declaring that night. That's why the angels were singing that night. God had done a miraculous thing. God had sent a Savior for the world. And the Savior that God sent was a personal Savior. Not a Savior for all the world at once, but a Savior for the world, one soul at a time. One soul at a time. That's the plan of God, to bring salvation to individuals and not to nations. Israel was looking for a national Savior. They were looking for a Savior that would overthrow the Roman government and set their nation free of outside domination like it was in the days of David. Jesus came to overthrow the government of Satan in the individual heart and to set that individual free. That's what he came to do. That's what he's still doing. That's why Jesus was explaining to his disciples as he comforted them and encouraged them on that night before his crucifixion. In John chapter 16, verse 20, Jesus says to them, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Jesus told them that the joy that he was bringing to them would be a personal joy. And even though as a nation and individual they were in for difficult times, they would know the blessings of being close to God. The promise that Jesus gave to his first disciples is given to us as well. It was a promise that God made in the Old Testament, and he continues to fulfill it even in our times. God says, I'm sending Emmanuel to you. God will be with you. Rejoice. Rejoice. Because Jesus fulfilled God's promise to be with us, we can have joy that this world can't take away from us. The world can't take it away from you. A joy that does not diminish regardless of how small your bank account may be. A joy that does not diminish regardless of how much opposition, persecution, and trouble you face in your life. In the midst of our troubles, we can claim the promise of Emmanuel. God is with me. I can go forward because God is with me. Because God is with us, we can know joy, real joy, regardless of what this world brings upon us. We may not be able to explain that to anyone else. They may have a question about our joy, but we can know the joy that comes from the knowledge that God is with us. Because God is standing with us, we can live in joy that God alone can grant. When Emmanuel came, he brought a joy that surpasses all understanding. But the joy has a partner that comes with it. It's often mentioned along with it. Along with joy, it's often you hear mentioned another word called peace. Peace. Emmanuel came also to bring us peace. Listen, as Isaiah continues now in verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Because God is standing with us, we can enjoy the peace that God alone can bring. The peace that God alone can bring. Now, this verse was difficult for the Old Testament Bible scholars to understand and interpret. Who was Isaiah talking about that could fulfill all of these things and wear all these titles and fulfill all these roles? Well, Wonderful Counselor was not that difficult. Maybe somebody could fit that. Maybe someone like Moses or Solomon could have been like a wise counselor to the people of Israel. That's conceivable. But who could wear the title of Mighty God, Everlasting Father, except God himself? God was revealing a little bit of the mystery of the Trinity, even in the Old Testament times when Isaiah wrote this. God had insisted to Israel that there was only one God, and he was that God. You see, the pagans had a god for every circumstance. They had a god for rain, a god for the harvest, a god for the sunshine, a god for fertility. But God said to Israel, I am is my name. I am God all by myself, and there are no others. And that's what he wanted to know, that he was God all by himself. But later he revealed in the New Testament that he was one God with three personalities. As Jesus revealed to us, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I called it the mystery of the Trinity because the triune nature of God is still a concept that we have difficulty wrapping our minds around, even in the New Testament. It is a truth that the Bible reveals to us but does not explain, because who can explain God? You know, God created us. We can't explain him. He created us, and he says, here's who I am. But Isaiah was revealing that mystery back in the Old Testament when he said that the Son who is coming will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He was revealing some of God, saying, this is who I am. Jesus presented this revelation to his disciple Philip on the night before he was crucified. When Philip asked him, he said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And look what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know me and you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and he's still with us if we claim the promise of Christ. Along with Jesus came the promise of peace. Jesus came to fulfill the title Prince of Peace, because peace is possible with Jesus. But some have an argument with that today, that claim that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. They say in the 2,000 years since Christ came, the world has known more war than peace, a whole lot of war and very little peace. So how can he be called the Prince of Peace? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us an answer to that, and found in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. For Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The peace that Jesus brings is peace with God, peace to all who accept him. The peace that Jesus brings is just like the joy that he brings. It is personal and is individual. God brings you a personal peace if you accept him and you have peace in your heart. That's the peace that Jesus brought into the world, peace with God. And there'll never be peace among mankind until there's peace between man and God. Peace from God is yours from the asking, and it comes only from God. You can't buy that from anybody. You can only get it from God. Peace with God comes when you lay all that you've done on the table before God, all that you have, all that you are, lay it before God, and ask him to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to lead you along his path of righteousness. The only way to have true peace is by surrendering to God. But this peace is a peace that surpasses all understanding. To have peace with God is the greatest treasure that we can obtain. Peace with God means that I've just dismissed all of my fears about the future, because I know that the future is in God's hands. So I stop worrying about it. I may be in for a bumpy ride, but I can ride it out as long as I have peace with God, because God is standing with us. We can rejoice in the peace that only God can give. The joy and the peace that Jesus brings to us is precious, because joy and peace are rare commodities in the world in which we live. When we do find joy or peace apart from God, it doesn't last very long. But the joy and peace you find with God will stay with you. And as Jesus came to fulfill the promise of Emmanuel, he came also with another promise, the promise of an eternal kingdom as our home. Listen to verse 7 as Isaiah continues. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Because God is standing with us, we can inherit the kingdom that God himself has provided for us. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God on earth. That was the purpose of his coming and the great accomplishment of his death. How did the death of Jesus establish the kingdom of God? Well, when Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, he cleansed the hearts of those who accepted him and made them acceptable for God's kingdom. All who accept God's cleansing through Jesus Christ are acceptable in the kingdom of God. That's what repentance is all about. Repentance simply says that you accept the cleansing that God is providing for you. You accept the fact that you need cleansing. Without repentance, you're saying to God, I'm okay as I am, so I don't need what you're offering. That's what you really, if you are not willing to repent, that's what you're saying to God. And you'd be surprised how many people feel that way in their hearts. They say, I'm not that bad. Why do I have to repent? And then they do what we all do sometimes. They try to judge themselves on a curve. They try to find someone who has done worse things than they have, and they say, see, I'm not that bad. But the problem is God does not grade on a curve. He does, everybody has to, as the old folks say, sit on their own bottom. Every bucket has to sit on his own bottom. God has his standard of righteousness, and that standard is Jesus Christ. And if you don't measure up, you won't make it in. But the good news is Jesus is willing to share his righteousness. Jesus said, okay, I'm able to make it in like this, and I'll show you how to get in with me. And that's the only way to get in, unless you're as righteous as Jesus on your own. Paul tells us how God made that come about for our sakes. The fact that Jesus' righteousness is able to get us in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul writes, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus came in this world and had no sin of his own. And so he took our sins on his name. And then he came as the righteous Savior, and we can take his name to cover up our sin. So he took our sin, and we get to take his righteousness. That sounds like a bargain to me. To those who accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God has provided a place in his kingdom for them. That is the kingdom that Jesus established by his death on the cross. The kingdom that made up of those of us who accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ as his payment for our sins. Our entry into God's kingdom is by God's grace. By God's grace and grace alone. So thank God we have the privilege of entering the kingdom of God by grace. We could not get in there on our own merit. But God saw the righteousness of Jesus Christ and allowed that to be applied on our case. And that makes us acceptable in God's kingdom. The promise of Emmanuel was that God would be in our midst and that his kingdom would be in our midst as well. Because God is standing with us, we can inherit the kingdom that God himself has provided for us. God himself has provided a kingdom for us. So now we return to the question with which we started. What are the blessings that we can claim as a result of the fact that God is standing with us as we go through this life? Well, because God is standing with us, we can walk in the light that God alone can provide. That God alone can provide. And because God is standing with us, we can live in the joy that God alone can grant. That God alone can grant. And because God is standing with us, we can enjoy the peace that God alone can bring into our lives. Because God is standing with us, we can inherit the kingdom of God that God himself has provided for us. Because Jesus has fulfilled the promise of Emmanuel, we can stand in righteousness in a world that's crippled by sin. Because Jesus has fulfilled the promise of Emmanuel, we can stand in faith in a world that's paralyzed by fear. Because Jesus has fulfilled the promise of Emmanuel, we can stand in hope in a world that's dominated by despair. Dominated by despair. We can stand different. We can stand boldly and faithful and courageous because we know that God is standing with us. We know God's there. People may not be able to see God, but he's standing with us. And if you're walking according to God's will, they should be able to see something in your life that's different. Back in the 1960s, a Christian songwriting couple asked themselves a question as they discovered that a baby was on the way that they had not planned for. In the midst of the Vietnam War and right after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King and having their own health problem, they wondered about the wisdom of bringing a child into the world where there were so many questions, where the future was so up in the air and they could not answer so many things about the future that this child would be born into a world like this. And then the Holy Spirit gave them an answer. And they wrote this song. And they wrote the song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future and life is worth the living because he lives. Because Jesus lives, I have light to live my life by. Because Jesus still lives, I have joy in my life. Because Jesus still lives, I have peace with God in my life. Because Jesus still lives, I have a kingdom to look forward to. Because God gave the promise of Emmanuel, I plan to keep on trusting God for as long as I walk these shores. Because God has given the promise of Emmanuel, I plan to keep on just standing with God. Because God has given the promise of Emmanuel, I plan to keep on telling the story about how God has came into my life, has lifted me up upright, and now I'm able to stand. I'm able to stand with God. What about you? Don't you want to stand with God? As the choir comes, as we stand now, as the church prepares our hearts for prayer, there may be something in your life and in your heart that you need to bring before God. Shall we stand? You need to bring before God and let the Lord do his cleansing and do his washing. As we go through this life's journey, there are things that trouble us and weigh us down and things we need to bring before God. This is the time you do it. We come out here to praise God and to sing praises to his name and to allow him to do with us what he needs to do. As the choir continues to sing, come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church is open now for prayer. Shall we come? Our Father, our God in heaven, our Father and our God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Lord, we know that you sit high, but you look low. We ask, Lord, that you look down upon us and have mercy upon us. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses, Lord. Wash us and cleanse us that we may be able to go on in your name, that we may be able to stand in your name and to declare to this dying world about our living Lord. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for all you've done for us, for keeping us in a reasonable portion of health and strength, for keeping our families and our loved ones. Lord, we just thank you. And we ask now, Lord, that you strengthen us as we go forward, that we may be able to do those things that you have called us to do. Touch every family that's represented here, Lord, and give the healing that's needed in the families. Give the touch of wisdom that is needed. Give the love that's needed, Lord. Let the love go from heart to heart and from breast to breast. And draw us, Lord, so close that one cannot fall for the other. We thank you and praise you, Lord, and we pray that you will bless encouragement, bless vessels of honor, Lord, to do the work that you've called us to do in this place, on this corner, in this city, and in this world. We thank you and praise you and ask, Lord, that you keep us as we go down from this place. Go with us and stand by us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Praise God. Our hearts and minds clear. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home on the morning train. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let's all say it together. Amen. Go in peace. Go with God. All right. All right.